السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين یہ اللہ تعالیٰ کا فضل و احسان ہے کہ ہر سفر میں اپنی تائید و قدرت کی
It is the grace and mercy of Allah the Almighty that He shows His help and support during all my travels.
بعض پروگرام بنانے میں تجربہ نہیں رکھتی
اور ایسے پروگرام Sometimes I am concerned that jamaats are not experienced in holding certain events. And sometimes they organize external events with other non-Ahmadis. And when you are holding these programs with others, then you also have to advertise them through their channels. Therefore, another concern is the chance of disturbance by the mischievous elements. And also, if the standard of the event isn't high enough, that can also become a means for the enemy to criticize as well. And so there were many concerns, but we cannot thank Allah the Almighty enough for His help and support. Such signs of His support, that one is amazed to see the fulfillment of God Almighty's promises made to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in a new form each time. Sometimes there is so much appreciation shown by the guests that the organizers start wondering if indeed the event was that good. But it seems that their appreciation is indeed heartfelt. It is not merely a lip service. looking at the eyes and faces, you can tell that they actually mean their appreciation. One's heart fills up with praise for God Almighty, for covering up our weaknesses and making the event so successful. Recently, I was on a visit to Germany and Holland. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaat in Germany is quite large and organized. The members have contacts at all levels of society. The Jamaat is also well known to the media and receive very good coverage by them. And due to Jamaat's rapid growth, some newspapers and other media outlets give negative coverage as well. However, some politicians, mostly of Asian origin, also campaign against Jamaat for the sake of cheap publicity from time to time. However, German politicians, intelligentsia and general public who have been introduced to the Jamaat, they have a positive opinion of the Jamaat. And that is because they get a true picture of Islam through this coverage. Therefore, the various events organized by Ahmadis in Germany, some of which are non-Jamaat events as well, are also a means for the introduction of Islam and Ahmadiyyat for German people. However, the Jamaat in Holland is really small, and previously no major effort had been made to introduce Islam or Ahmadiyyat to the country through media. They do not have any significant contacts with members of parliament, intelligentsia, or diplomats to introduce Jamaat as being a representative of Islam. However, Allah the Almighty enabled the Jamaat to organize a reception in the Parliament House of Holland through a member of parliament from Nunspeet, where we also have our center. And he had previously met me at the Holland Jalsa. Currently, this member of parliament is the acting chairman of their parliamentary committee on foreign affairs. And the Committee for the Foreign Affairs organized a reception in a hall within the House of Parliament. Amir Sahib of Holland informed me of the event and invited me. And so I went. However, I thought there would only be a few people attending, as the Jamaat in Holland is not very well known and has no experience of holding such events. But considering their circumstances, I felt that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, it was a very good event.
Dutch Parliament members, Spain, Ireland,
89 high-ranking officials attended the event. In addition to members of the Dutch Parliament, there were also ambassadors and other delegates and officials from Spain, Ireland, Sweden, Croatia, Montenegro, Albania, France, Switzerland, Germany, Belgium, India, the Philippines, Denmark, and Cyprus. As I mentioned, the Jamaat in Germany has high-level contacts, but even they have not been able to organize an event such as this. Over there in Germany, even though our events are attended by several high-ranking officials who appreciate our services and comment positively on the true picture of Islam seen in our gatherings, but there hasn't been a reception like this one so far. Perhaps the reason for not being able to organize such an event in Germany so far is that Germany is such a large country, while Holland is very small. In any case, I hope that Holland's Jamaat will try to build on this effort of establishing contacts with media and newspapers, and will not think this was their best effort. At the reception in the House of Parliament, I spoke briefly for about 18 to 20 minutes on Islamic teachings in the context of current affairs. Generally, when I say something about Islamic teachings with Quranic references, the audience feels their questions have been sufficiently answered. And they often express this as well. But at this reception, three or four parliamentarians belonging to different political parties wanted to ask some more questions. I allowed them to ask questions since they had not been satisfied. However, their questions were only a repetition of the same things. It seems that either they wanted me to say that Islamic teachings were incorrect, God forbid, or something else that would give them the opportunity to say something about Islam. This was felt by the parliamentarians from other countries as well. Some of them acknowledged that the attitude of one or two of their colleagues was inappropriate. In fact, some Dutch guests who were watching the program or who were seated there expressed their unhappiness and embarrassment over it as well. In any case, these things do not make a difference to us. People felt that the questioners perhaps wanted to provoke me, but Allah the Almighty has given me abundant amount of patience. One of them realized it himself and later apologized to me when he came to have a picture taken with me. He said if his questions were impertinent, he would like to apologize. However, all the details cannot be described here as they are long and time-consuming. You may already have watched some on MTA, or you can read the report later. But the non-Ahmadi guests attending the program and those listening to it took a positive impression of Islamic teachings. Sometimes one feels in retrospect that a particular question could have been answered in a different way. But by Allah the Almighty's grace, whatever answers I gave had a positive effect upon the audience. They even expressed later that those were the most fitting responses to the questions. It is only Allah the Almighty who encapsulates the hearts of people and makes them receptive. Human effort, however, is vain. Holding this event in itself is only through the grace of Allah the Almighty. The credit goes not to the Jamaat of Holland, or any person, or the Jamaat. I think most of them will acknowledge that they have no idea as to how the event was so successful. Regarding the standard of this program, the member of the parliament who organized the reception later said to an Ahmadi that the event should have received better media coverage, even though we thought that there was enough media coverage already. But in his opinion, it deserved a front page headline so that people around the country would get to know about the true teachings of Islam. In any case, he said that he was not satisfied as the coverage was less than the event deserved. He also said that many members of the parliament had asked him how he managed to organize this reception. Not only us, but others too felt that holding a reception for such a small Jamaat in the House of Parliament would have been a tall order. He says the event was much more successful than he had anticipated in terms of the attendance as well as the subject matter under discussion. And it will now have far-reaching results as the Imam of Jamaat Ahmadiyya has delivered his message in a very effective manner. The people of Holland deserve to see the peaceful face of Islam, and they need this message. He says this reception with the Khalifatul Masih was the first step, and he would organize further such events. He also said this on the day in his concluding remarks. Many other distinguished guests commended the program and expressed their thanks for portraying the true image of Islam. A previous Dutch defense minister was also amongst the guests. He later had a long sitting with me. While expressing his thoughts, he said that according to him, your message has shown them the true face of Islam. And he said he would like me to visit Holland again and again, so that people of Holland are not afraid of Islam anymore. He says that my responses to the parliamentary committee's questions should be enough to open the eyes of any reasonable person. The ambassador of Spain was also here at this event, and he said, in particular, the manner in which the Imam of the Jamaat answered sensitive questions of freedom of speech, tolerance and respect for other faiths was very apt. Then commenting on what was said during the speech on tolerance, religious freedom and brotherhood in light of the teaching of Islam, he said, it resonates with my heart and I strongly support him because it is very important to take care of these values for mutual understanding between faiths and world peace. Similarly, the Member of Parliament of Spain said, "I was delighted to hear a compelling message of peace and freedom of mankind and love for the Creator. In a world in which warfare and injustices in the name of religion go on increasing day by day, we should be thankful at such a message of peace. Today, there is a need for all the people who desire peace and practice a religion to unite more than ever before. We should pay attention towards the matters which are common between us, instead of putting emphasis on our differences." Then three people came from Montenegro. One of them was a member of their national parliament. He said, "This event is a great success for the Jamaat, as the Imam presented this true teaching of Islam at a very high platform. Though the questions from the Dutch members of parliament were very forthright, however, he gave answers which were well argued and based on truths. And this highlights the fact that the Imam of the Jamaat speaks with courage, self-confidence and reasoning." He further said, "There is a great need for such events in today's dangerous world." There were also two members of the Human Rights Defense present there. They also said that this message which was given in the parliament should be circulated to all the policy makers. Similarly, a member from the ruling party of Croatia was here. He said, "The Imam of the Jamaat presented the teachings of Islam in a very elaborate and compelling manner. The teachings of Islam are very effective for the establishment of peace in the world. If all the Muslims act upon the teaching of Islam with a sincerity of heart, then the world could become a haven of peace." He further said, "The categorical stance on freedom of speech, which the leader of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat gave, was very compelling. In particular, the example of the restrictions in place in certain countries regarding the Holocaust further strengthened his stance." Then he said, "Despite the fact that Ahmadis have faced persecution in Pakistan, the leader of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat refrained from directly criticizing Pakistan and urged Muslims to act upon the true teachings of Islam in a beautiful manner, which was very inspiring." He then said, "The stance he gave on restricting weaponry and stopping funding was very practical. In reality, if the powerful nations of the world act upon these points with sincerity and honesty, then the world can return towards peace." A member of parliament who came from Sweden said, "The address was very good, it was compelling, and in terms of being a religious leader, you gave a wake-up call to the people of the world who are in authority. The address was one of truth, without any hidden agenda. The Imam of the Jamaat drew attention towards peace, justice, tolerance, humanity, love, and brotherhood in simple words and gave a message to the world." Regarding the questions from the members of the Foreign Affairs Committee on Freedom of Expression, he comments, "The answers were well-reasoned and full of insight. They did not understand the indication of the Imam of the Jamaat by the reference he presented about the Jews, when in our country, in Sweden, even wearing the Nazi badge is illegal and there is punishment and a fine for it." Then from Albania, there was a chief advisor of the mayor of Tirana, which is their capital. He also remained the president of their government committee on religious matters. He said, it was not even in my imagination that the Ahmadiyya Jamaat was propagating the message of Islam in such a magnificent manner. The Imam of the Jamaat presented the teachings of Islam in a remarkable and captivating manner. Expressing his opinions, the professor of Amsterdam University, who is an expert on Buddhism, Islam and other religions, said, the elaborate manner in which the Imam of the Jamaat presented the Islamic teachings regarding peace enabled me to gauge that the participation of the Jamaat in our interfaith programs is a must. Now the Jamaat should definitely attend our programs so that the true and real face of Islam comes before us. There was also other programs in Holland apart from this. For 4 or 5 days on a daily basis, journalists from various newspapers, radios and television channels would come and take interviews. There were long discussions which took place with them. Interviews lasted from half an hour up to 40 or 45 minutes at a time, in which they were informed on topics regarding the status of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, his claim, the teaching of Islam, world peace, khilafat, etc. You will be able to read the details for yourself or watch them. In any case, the Jamaat has been introduced on a broad scale there through these means. And just as the professor also said, that now even in this country, the educated class of people are having to accept that if they want to know the true teachings of Islam, then they must include the Ahmadis. I mentioned about the interviews. The first interview was taken on the 5th October by a journalist from a radio channel in Nunspeed called RTV Nunspeed. It was broadcast live from Baitun Nur Mosque. It was being broadcast and heard all over the world through live stream. Then, on the same day, 5th October, a journalist from a regional television station in Holland called TV Gelderland took an interview. And through this television station, this message reached approximately over 2 million people of this area. In fact, the journalist himself said that our worth here is the same as what BBC has in the UK. Then, on 6th October, a journalist from the National Newspaper of Holland took an interview. And although the print publication of this newspaper is a mere 50,000, however, the readership on the internet is in hundreds of thousands. On 7th October, a journalist from another regional newspaper came and took an interview. This newspaper also has a coverage of around 100,000. Then, on 9th October, a journalist from a Holland newspaper took an interview. This also has a big coverage and readership. It is also a religious newspaper. Through these interviews and the media, the coverage that was achieved was very good by the grace of Allah the Exalted. As I said, it is for the first time that the Holland Jamaat has reached out on a large scale. This program of theirs was very good in this respect. 3 national newspapers of Holland and 9 regional newspapers gave news and published reports regarding the tour. 9 newspapers published news on their internet edition. In total, the message reached over 6 million people through newspapers. The interview on RTV radio, which I mentioned, was broadcast at a national level through NTV network and all over the world via live stream. On the 7th October, the national radio also broadcasted a 5-minute program at 9 PM regarding the tour. In this manner, the message reached approximately 500,000 people via radio. Then their TV channel also gave a 5-minute news regarding the tour and mentioned the parliament and the foundation laying ceremony of the mosque. Apart from this, news was also broadcast on the country's national TV. In this manner, according to them, the message reached 5 million people via these two channels. If we take an overall look, then on this occasion, in the first attempt, the message has reached 8 million people in Holland via print media. In Holland, I had the opportunity of laying the foundation stone of the second mosque of the Holland Jamaat. May Allah the Exalted enable it to be built quickly. The Jamaat is building a purpose-built mosque there after 60 years. There are centers, one or two centers were acquired. However, there was not a proper mosque, and it was a great need of the time to have a mosque. The total attendance of the guests who participated in the foundation stone laying ceremony was 102. These guests included the mayor of Elmer, which is the city in which this mosque is being built, judges, lawyers, doctors, architects, religious leaders, and guests involved in different occupations of life. Besides this, the guests which arrived from Albania, Montenegro, Croatia, Sweden, Spain, and Switzerland for an event a day earlier also participated. Expressing his feelings, the mayor of Elmer said, "Having heard your words which were said about the mosque, it has left a strong impression of my heart. The message which you gave is very effective in establishing a peaceful atmosphere. We should all get together and try to practically implement it." He further said, "I believe that this message of peace will certainly spread through the mosque." Then a member of the local council, who works as a councillor in Elmer, said that this message is a beacon of guidance for people of all schools of thoughts. The leader of a political party, the Liberal Party, says that in the future it will be your community that will be responsible for establishing peace. Also, a Muslim channel runs in Elmer by the name of National Muslim Radio. On the same day as the ceremony of laying the mosque's foundation stone, the National Muslim Radio broadcasted a report on the construction of the mosque in Elmer for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, which explained the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, was the second advent of Jesus the Messiah, and it was also explained with regards to me being the Khalifa of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that I had come to lay the foundation stone of the mosque in Elmer. Moreover, it played some parts of the address at the mosque's ceremony. Apart from this, the media gave a lot of coverage with regards to this. After this, I laid the foundation stone of two mosques in Germany. Dignitaries had come as well as a group of the city's educated people. Good functions also took place here. There is already familiarity with our community there, but this has increased further. I laid the foundation stone of a mosque in Norden while en route from Holland to Germany. Also, a TV channel took an interview and gave coverage as well. A former mayor had also attended, and after the function he said, "I have said to my friends that there is no need to go to the church this Sunday, because whatever was necessary for us to hear has already been said by their Khalifa." And so some people express their thoughts in this manner also. May Allah the Almighty open their hearts in reality as well, and may they be those who truly understand the true teachings of Islam. A German lady said that this truly was a good function. She said that she did not know a lot about Islam, but the manner in which the Khalifatul Masih had explained Islam to her has now allowed her to acquire the correct knowledge of Islam. Then, another German said that in terms of religion he was a Catholic, and on that day he had learned about another beautiful religion, which is Islam. While listening to the speech of the Khalifa, he said that he had developed an interest in wanting to investigate further into Islam, and that he, the Khalifa, explained to them the truth about Islam. He said that he had found that Islam is based on love, freedom and peace. He said, I liked mostly that he said Islam lays a great deal of emphasis on the rights of neighbors. A Jaman lady said that she was not religious, nor did she believe in any religion. And neither did she know that there was even a Khalifa. But now after seeing and listening to the Khalifa, she said she will be taking back with her a much better and informed opinion about Islam today. She learned that the mosque is not only for worshipping, but is also for the service of humanity. And I have also learned that the mosque takes care of the neighbors. And I have learned that the mosque is an abode of spreading peace. Concerning Islam, all questions or the fears that one can have can be removed through the address of the Imam of the Jamaat. Another guest, who was a journalist, mentioned that after the ceremony, he intended to interview the Imam of the Jamaat. However, he says, there was no longer a need to take any kind of interview afterwards, because all the questions, reservations, or fears that could possibly arise in one's mind with regards to Islam were answered by the Imam of the Jamaat in his address. A lady said that her husband had come along with her as well, but the moment she told him to come in, he said that he would rather not go inside. He dropped her there in his car and went to the parking area. He said that since it was a Muslim function, in his heart he felt like there would be an explosion today. Therefore, he said he valued his life, and if she wished to die, then she could go ahead, but he would stay back. Afterwards, she said that now she will go to him and tell him that he had missed a wonderful day's program because there was nothing there except for peace, love and affection. Therefore, some people hold such views as well. A German lady had also come on this occasion. During the course of the address, she'd comment on each point repeatedly saying, "This is the truth, this is the truth." Afterwards, while expressing her sentiments, she said, "It is the first time I took part in this program, and having seen your arrangements, I am amazed. In your organization, everyone appears to be very well-mannered." Now, people's remarks also serve to remind us that we ought to maintain our conduct in a manner that we do appear well-mannered. This behavior should not only be shown temporarily on occasions, rather, our actions need to be consistent. She further said, "I have to say with much regret that we Germans have become ignorant of the morals that are taught." She said that the moral values which she seeks to teach her children at home are against what is being taught in the schools. But here she had been shown the true dignity of mankind. Thus, these people understand that in the name of freedom, people are being educated in this way. There are many things that the native people are distressed about themselves. Therefore, we should also make our children understand, particularly at home, that everything they claim is not true. Rather, it is highly essential that you look towards Islamic values and take care of these values. Similarly, a non-Ahmadi guest commented that he was very happy to attend on the day. He said that Christianity has already died and their talks were just superficial. He said that there was no spirit in Christianity. However, here I have seen a living religion. Then, when I mentioned that there is no clean water in Africa, a lady was sat there who, after hearing that the Ahmadiyya community was doing something to provide drinking water in Africa, she said in the ear of her 7 or 8 year old son that water should not be wasted at all. also sat beside her with three or four other children. She told them, indicating with her finger, to listen to him so that they understood as well. Similarly, a husband and wife were also sat there. A debate started there with an Ahmadi on the topic of segregation, and that why only men could be seen and no women, and that why there was a separate marquee for the women. When they heard my address, and also the explanation was given to them as to the reasons and spirit behind the veil, the wife remarked that in the West the freedom of women is in superficial terms, and it is not true freedom. She said that she had now come to understand this concept that you have taught us, and that the greatness of a woman lies in this. Therefore, non-Ahmadis are now beginning to understand the teaching of Islam. So at times our women also develop a complex with regards to the veil. This should not be the case, and they should increase in their confidence as opposed to feeling any sort of embarrassment or putting on a false front. Another woman attended with her husband. She said that she liked everything about the event. She was very curious about Islam and said that today she understands that Islam is just a name for goodness. Then she also added that they both liked the point raised by the Imam of the Jamaat that we should meet each other and live peacefully because we are all the creation of God. She said that this left a very deep impression on her heart. Her husband added that he was also curious to know what kind of things the Imam was going to speak about today. After listening to the words of the Khalifa, he said that all I can say is that I agree with everything that he says. I have now learned that mosques are the abodes of peace. Whatever he has said in his speech is about peace. Instead of being afraid of one another, they should trust each other. He said that after listening to the address, no kind of fear remains in my heart with regards to this mosque. Then another gentleman who attended the event mentioned that he was an atheist and opposed religion. But having listened to the Khalifa has proven to me that he tolerates all kinds of people, and this is proven from his actions that Islam is the religion of tolerance. He also said that the message of the Khalifa was that we should end our grievances and conflicts, and that he cannot deny that there is an urgent need for what the Khalifa has said today. One lady said, there is a great need for the words that have been spoken by the Imam of the community. Today the world stands divided, but the message of the Imam of the community was one that can unite us all. Not only should Muslims listen to the words of Khalifatul Masih, in fact Christians, Jews and everyone else should pay focus to what he says. She further says, after listening to the whole address, my negative view regarding Islam has now completely become positive. The various newspapers also published the news. A local newspaper of Nordhorn published a detailed report of the laying of the mosque's foundation stone and wrote that true Muslims promote peace, love and harmony. It is a duty of every person to treat one's neighbors with kindness, and also spoke in light of my address. This newspaper has a very vast publication, and the message was reached out to approximately 320,000 people through these various newspapers. Also, the local TV station in Nordhorn, where the Mubarak Mosque is, aired a 2-minute news regarding the mosque and has millions of viewers. The news reported by the local newspapers has a total publication of 117,000. One of the biggest daily newspapers, Bild, published the news in 2 of its local editions and had previously twice published the news regarding the foundation stone of the mosque. The news about the mosque in Nordhorn was also given on the radio. The The total publication of the newspapers that reported the foundation stone laying of the two mosques was 490,000. And so through these newspapers, the news of the mosque's foundation stone and the message of Islam was conveyed. In addition to this, it is said that the total viewers and listeners of the various radio channels and TV stations is in millions. The first class of Jamia Ahmadiyya Germany has passed out after completing its 7-year course. 16 missionaries have graduated from there, and it was their annual convocation. This was in fact the actual purpose for going to Germany. The Jamia started in 2008 in a few rooms of a small building in Baitul Subu. Now, by the grace of God Almighty, they have constructed a proper building with all the facilities, including classrooms, halls, library, hostels, etc. It is a very beautiful building. By the grace of God Almighty, the function for the convocation went very well. May God Almighty enable the missionaries who have graduated from there to serve their faith in the best possible manner, and enable them to serve their waqf, i.e. life devotion, with complete loyalty. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, regarding our Jamaat, there are great promises of God Almighty, and no person can make us reach those promises through intellect, foresight, or worldly means. God Almighty will provide the means Himself, and only then will this mission achieve its culmination. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, I know that God Almighty has established this community, and it is developing through His grace. The fact is that no nation can prosper unless it is the will of God Almighty. However, when God Almighty desires for it, then it becomes like a seed. Just as no one is aware of the development of a seed and its signs, in the same way, they regard the prosperity of that nation impossible. The way no one knows whether a seed is going to grow or not. However, when it does grow, then the fruit brings forth the flowers. In the same way, people think about the prosperity of a particular nation in its early stages, and are unsure of it. Thus, when something is destined by God Almighty, then it begins to happen. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has been promised by God Almighty, and He has destined that inshallah, God willing, the Jamaat is going to flourish, prosper and grow. And we are witnessing this treatment of God Almighty with the Jamaat everywhere. Everything that is happening, which I have just mentioned in my report, are all of God Almighty's works. If there has been any kind of success in the programs, then it is not due to a single person's effort or a few members of the organizing committee. Indeed, understanding what God Almighty has destined, we should try to exert our maximum efforts so that we can also become a part of it, and so that we can become the recipients of God Almighty's grace. May God Almighty enable us to do so. After the Friday prayer, I will offer a funeral prayer in absentia of respected Mirza Azhar Ahmad Sahib. He was the son of Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He passed away on 14th October 2015. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the last remaining son of Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who passed away. The second generation from the promised Messiah's son, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, has now finished after his demise. But may God Almighty enable the third, fourth and future generations to remain firm on faith. He was born to Hazrat Umme Nasir Raziyallahu ta'ala anha on 17th October 1930 in Qadian. He acquired his basic education from Qadian and also did his matriculation exams there. After the partition, he took admission in Jamia Ahmadiyya and stayed in Jamia during his Jamia studies. After graduating from Jamia Ahmadiyya, he served for 1 year as in charge of the missions in Tehrik-e-Jadid. Later, on 21st October 1961, he was appointed as deputy head of the treasury in Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya. As a Muslim Maud Raziyallahu ta'ala anhu once stated that he wished for one of his sons to help with the financial affairs of the Jamaat. It is said that perhaps this was the reason why Hazrat Muslim Maud Raziyallahu ta'ala anhu appointed him to work in the treasury. He spent his whole life working in the Department of Treasury and retired from there in 1992. He also had the opportunity to serve in the Furqan Battalion. He had a very strong relationship with Khilafat. He was my maternal uncle, however he was always very respectful. In the first Jalsa in 2003, I saw him standing in a crowd of people, and when my eye glanced upon him, he waved his hand with great emotion and pure devotion. Attachment and sincerity was transcending from his face. He would take care of the poor. May God Almighty treat him with mercy and compassion. In 1965, Hazrat Muslim Maud read his nikah with Kaisra Khanam Sahiba, who was the daughter of Khan Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib. He had two sons and two daughters. One of his son-in-laws is a Waqf-e Zindagi life devotee in Rabwa, and the other son-in-law, Dr. Irfan, lives here in London. The Nikah sermon contains some historic words, therefore I shall mention some of it. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu during his Nikah sermon stated, "The person whose Nikah sermon I have stood up to read is my son Mirza Azhar Ahmed, which has been settled with Kaisra Khanum, the daughter of the late Khan Sayyid Ahmed Khan. Already we had a double relation with Kaisra Khanum. However, because of this Nikah, we now have a third relation with her. One relation is that she is the paternal granddaughter of Colonel Usaf Ali Khan, and Colonel Usaf Ali Khan Sahib was the brother-in-law and maternal cousin of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib. In other words, she is the granddaughter of that person who was the brother-in-law of such an individual whom the promised Messiah alayhi salam gave the hand of his daughter in marriage to. Later, during the time of Khalifatul Masih I, the promised Messiah alayhi salam's second daughter was married to one of his sons. The second relation is based on one of God Almighty's revelations, which is that she is the maternal granddaughter of Abdul Majid Khan Sahib, who is the son of Khan Muhammad Khan Sahib Kapurthalvi. Khan Muhammad Khan Sahib was a companion of the promised Messiah from a very long time. As a Muslim Maud states, that it is unfortunate that our community has proved very indolent with regards to recording its history. There will be hardly any other group of people who are so indolent in learning their history like our Jamaat. Take Christians for example. They were never so indolent in recording their history. Or for instance, the Muslims have recorded the lives of the companions in such detail that some of the books on this subject comprise of thousands of pages. However, despite the fact that our Jamaat was established in an age of intellect, yet it is so indolent in recording its own history. Therefore, you must be mindful of this and should also remind others of this. Attention has been drawn to this before, that you must remember your history and the history of your families. You should also speak about the companions' lives and should write it down. As a Muslim Maud further states, I have mentioned that Khan Muhammad Khan Sahib was an old companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He had such love for the community that when he passed away on 1st January 1904, the next day, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam entered the mosque for Fajr prayer, he said, "I have received a revelation that someone from my family has passed away." Someone who was present among the congregation submitted that by the grace of God Almighty, the family members of the promised Messiah were all fine. Therefore, who is this revelation about? The promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, "Khan Muhammad Khan Sahib Kapurthalvi passed away yesterday, and this revelation was regarding him." In other words, God Almighty, through revelation, included him in the family of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Also, there was a revelation regarding him that his children would be treated kindly. As a Muslim old then states, God Almighty expressed his condolences to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, at Khan Muhammad Khan Sahib's demise, and to say that he was from among the family of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, indicates that according to God Almighty, he was spiritually part of his family. Thus, Qaisra Khanum has a double relation with us. She is the maternal granddaughter of a person whose father, whom God Almighty had included among the family of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Due to its historic importance, I have read a part of this Nikah sermon, and I also remembered this, that I related a part of this at the time of his wife's demise a few years ago. May God Almighty show his mercy and forgiveness and grant him a place at the feet of his loved ones.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ